Broadcasting live from the Cobb Business Radio X studio, it's time for the Business, Babies, and Beauty Radio Show, brought to you by Airbender.
Hello, happy Wednesday, happy beautiful Wednesday. We're coming to you from beautiful, from the beautiful skies of Cobb County. Really, it really is beautiful. I'm just looking at the sky view and it's really nice. So today, first of all, thank you for tuning in. I know it's somebody's lunch break. Wish it was mine because I'm starving. But I have a very special guest here with me today. I like to call her the beautiful doctor. Because she really is beautiful inside and out. This is Dr. Myla Bennett Powell.
Yes.
That I am talking about today. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Dr. Myla. Okay, so let's get down to talking about this amazing woman. Dr. Myla is a plastic surgeon, speaker, beauty preservation strategist, and founder of PreserveYourPretty.com. She's also wife to Jay Powell, a mother to Bennett, who's 4, and Bradley, who's 1. She specializes in aesthetic surgery of the face and body, as well as non-surgical facial rejuvenation. As a young girl, Dr. Myla was extremely creative and had a love for arts and science. She believes that plastic surgery is a beautiful mix of creativity, art, and science. I like that. A native of Cleveland, Ohio, Dr. Myla is one of 6 children raised in a single-parent home. After high school, she completed undergraduate studies at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, where she earned a BS in biology, and then returned to Ohio, where she completed medical school at Ohio State University College of Medicine. During her medical school years, she became a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated. She received her surgical training at the Ohio State University Medical Center in general surgery and plastic and reconstructive surgery. Always a step ahead of the rest, Dr. Myla desired to have advanced training and knowledge in cosmetic surgery, opting to pursue fellowship training in aesthetics surgery. During this time, she gained exposure to cutting edge products, treatments, and surgical procedures to prevent, slow down, and even reverse the signs of aging. Ooh, tune in, listen in, listen in. After completion of surgical training, Dr. Myla accepted a position with Reed Hospital in Richmond, Indiana, where she stated the, where she started the Allure Center for Plastic Surgery. After 3 years there, and completion of her contract, she opted to venture out on her own and start her own private practice in plastic surgery. Atlanta was always a city that she enjoyed, and so she decided to move to the Atlanta area to start her practice here. Dr. Myla and her family moved to Johns Creek, Georgia, where she's opening Adarabella Plastic Surgery and Med Spa. Although surgery is the most obvious way to reverse the signs of aging, when it comes to facial rejuvenation, Dr. Myla believes that her patients should start with the least invasive products and treatments before committing to facial surgery. I love it. Dr. Myla's area of expertise include non-surgical and surgical facial rejuvenation, body contouring, breast surgery, tummy tuck, and liposuction. Dr. Myla can share her knowledge of anti-aging treatments as well as discuss medical topics as it relates to both surgical and non-surgical issues. She is a dynamic and engaging speaker with a fun personality. I agree. Okay, so I had to go through all of that because this is an amazing, very accomplished, very educated, very talented woman. And I'm so happy to know you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to know you too. And thank you for having me here today.
Oh, of course. Thank you for spending this hour with me. I know you could be doing so many things right now and making so much money in this hour.
But this is so much more fun.
Oh, thank you. All right. So let's just get down to business. So you decided to move to Atlanta. Thank you for coming to Atlanta.
Yes.
How has Atlanta been to you?
It's been great. I really like it here a lot, actually. And, I had my mom come down and visit last week and she likes it here too. Like, it's just a different feeling. It's so nice to like go out and see so many successful minorities.
Yes.
You know, I'm not really used to seeing so many of them like together. So that's pretty awesome. I mean, every day I meet new people that, you know, can help me and I can help them. It's just a great place. I really like it.
I'm happy to have met you. I met you first at the WAN conference, and yes. then I ended up seeing you with Marshawn yes. Evans. I was like, okay, I know I'm on the I'm on my way now. I saw her twice. I think I'm doing good. Okay, so you came here to open up your practice. First of all, you could have worked at any hospital.
Yes, and I actually turned down a few really great opportunities, but I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, mm-hmm. Which is why I'm, you know, getting coaching, business coaching and stuff like that, because we don't really learn those types of things in medical training, but I've always wanted to create jobs.
Mm, yeah.
So that was really hard. And a lot of people thought I was crazy for turning down those opportunities, but I just wanted to bet on myself, mm-hmm. you know? So I grabbed my family. We came here and we jumped off a cliff and
wow,
our wings are starting to sprout now.
I know. That's right. You bet on yourself and you will win for sure. So the clinic, tell us about,
Adarabella.
Okay.
So, it sounds pretty, but no one knows what it means. So I'm going to tell you.
It does sound pretty. Adarabella.
So both words mean pretty. Adara means pretty in Basque and Bella is pretty in Spanish and Italian. So the reason why I named my practice essentially Pretty Pretty is because I focus on inner and outer beauty. So I feel like the two things aren't mutually exclusive. And a lot of times people try to separate them out. You know, people will say like, I'd rather have inner beauty than outer beauty. Or some people will focus so much on their outer beauty and they don't really put any attention on themselves on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I think that both things are important because a woman who is confident and who is, sure of herself on the inside would adorn her outside. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's still your body, like whether it's the covering, but it's your covering.
Absolutely.
So I feel like if you're an extreme in either direction, that's not good. Mm. I think you should care about your inside and your outside. So we focus on both things there. So that's where Adarabella, the name was born.
Pretty, pretty. I like it. And I get it. And so how long has this been there since?
The name?
No, the location.
Oh, office. So I just moved to Atlanta in June. So, I have a temporary office in Johns Creek now, and that's been there for about a month.
Okay.
And my main office we're in the phases of building out the interior of it now. So, I hopefully should be having my grand opening for the main office in December or January.
Oh, that's
but
awesome.
I'm open for business now.
Yes, she is. So when I met you at the WIN conference, you were just,
I lived in Indiana.
Oh, wow. So yeah, you flew in for the conference.
Yes. And, it was my first women's conference and that was a game changer for me. Like mm-hmm. that changed my life. I left there different.
I can agree.
Yeah, I had never been to a women's conference before. I had always gone to medical conferences. And really, that's all. And the only way I even heard about the WIN conference is because I happened to watch Married to Medicine. Okay. And when I saw it the season before, I'm like, that seems pretty interesting. You know, so when I went, it literally changed my life.
I agree.
I changed the way I thought about it. I shifted my mindset. And so then I started to really think it was doable for me to go out on my own. The way things transpired in my life, I just, you know, I went ahead and decided to go ahead and take that leap now rather than wait.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been really scary and exciting, but it's been awesome to build something of my own
mm-hmm.
and be able to create jobs that people
yes.
like.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you're at work for the majority of your life.
Yeah.
Like you spend the majority of your waking hours every day working. And I feel like you should work to make your own dreams come true as opposed to somebody else's.
Yes.
And two, if you are helping to move someone else's vision forward, you should enjoy it. And so
that's really important.
It is. And I think people take that for granted. I mean, so many people, and I've been the same way where mm-hmm. I drive into work and, you know, there's this tight feeling in the pit of my stomach and it's like, I don't want to go there. And then you get there and you're looking at the clock all day long and you're like, okay, I'm not going to look at the clock anymore. And then, I'm not going to look at the clock for another hour. And so you think you sat there an hour and you look up at the clock and it's been 3 minutes.
Right.
You know, and I just didn't want to live my life like that. Because life is too short. So this has been, I've been so busy, but it's been wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm just excited.
Yes.
I'm entering a new season of my life, and I feel like going to that empowerment conference was very empowering, and it made me believe in myself even more, you know, and so I went ahead and bet on myself and jumped out there. So
I'm proud of you.
So now things are starting to move forward for my vision and my dream.
Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you. And I'm happy to hear you say that, because there are a lot of people who don't go to these conferences, mm-hmm. and they don't know what they're missing. I think that one was like 3 days.
Yeah, it was 3 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes leaving those conferences, they pour so much information into you. Like
they do. And I had never even heard that phrase before. Have someone pour into you, mm-hmm. until there,
mm-hmm.
until that conference. And it's, and she said it, because most of the women in that room are people who are leaders in their circle,
mm-hmm.
and they're pouring all of their wisdom and
years of experience
and everything into everybody else around them. And oftentimes it's people who don't even realize the value of what you're trying to do to help them. And then you don't have anybody pouring anything back into you, and you just get depleted.
Yes.
And I left there feeling so full and excited about,
yes.
life. And then it also helped me change my circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't cut friends off or anything like that, but the people that I was spend the majority of my time speaking to, whether it be on the phone or in person, I tried to make it people who could pour into me some, or people, you know, that could help me grow, as opposed to spending all my time talking to people who weren't able to help me grow.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that was a big shift. And I don't know, it just made me feel like anything is possible.
Yes, that's true.
So
that is true.
It made me less afraid to bet on myself and believe in what I could do.
Mm-hmm. Now that last part, anything is possible. It's kind of hard for me to believe, because you're a plastic surgeon, a female plastic surgeon. So of course anything is possible.
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny. There's not very many African American female plastic,
right.
surgeons. Atlanta right now, though, is actually kind of hot with African American female plastic surgeons, because there's 7 of us here.
Mm. Wow.
But there's probably 20 or less in the whole country, and 7 of us are here.
Wow.
So, but it's interesting, wow. because we're definitely a huge minority in plastic surgery, but we, you know, Black people get plastic surgery,
yeah.
you know, and so I feel like they should have options and be able to find people who they can identify with,
mm-hmm.
or who also share the same idea of beauty as they do.
That is so
when
true.
They're trying to get some of these procedures that really are kind of specific to us and what we see as beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But with all that being said, plastic surgery is one of the hardest specialties in medicine to get into. And in fact, on my journey to get into plastic surgery, there were a lot of people in medicine that looked at me like, what's your backup plan? Like, you're not going to get.
Wow.
But I've always been one to not be put off by the fact that I didn't see someone else like me doing something. If I wanted to do it, then I just thought, well, I'll just be first. Or so I didn't let the fact that I didn't see images of people like me in the field, I didn't let that deter me.
Mm-hmm. Again, you created,
yes.
an opportunity to be that,
yes.
for someone else.
So I just did everything I could, and you know, I was in medical school to stand out in ways other than the fact that I'm a Black female.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tried to make it so that I was competitive whether I was a Black female or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just worked really, 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 really hard, and I got it.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Oh my goodness. Mm-mm-mm. So you've always been creative. You loved arts and science. So early on, you knew you wanted to be a plastic surgeon.
Well, I decided I wanted to be a doctor when I was in like the 4th grade.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting, because right now, one of the things that I get the most compliments on is my skin. And part of why I wanted to be a doctor was because I had really bad eczema when I was growing up. So my skin, I got teased about it all the time. I had, you know, I would break out around my eyes, around my mouth, on my hands,
mm-hmm.
the back of my neck. And so, like, you know, the kids would tease me about my skin all the time. And it was a doctor that my mom had she took me to see a doctor to get some cream for my eczema. And the doctor, told my mom that it was nothing that a little soap and water wouldn't fix.
Mm.
And so I'm like, oh, mommy, like that thinking is good. And she's like, no, baby, that's not. He was not a nice man, you know, like, and so it made me feel, he made me feel bad. And I thought, I'm going to be a good doctor, mm-hmm. you know, like, and so now I have beautiful skin.
Yes.
It's ironic. We tend to grow out of things that mm-hmm. ail us when we're little. And it's just funny because I have this strange obsession with skincare, even though I'm a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think about that connection until a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, you know, I got teased about my skin my whole, like literally until I was like in high school, I got teased about my skin. And now people are like, I want your skin. It's right. just so funny how that things is. Go full circle.
Wow. Where are they now?
Hopefully listening to this show.
Right. So at Adarabella, what can one come in there and receive?
So Adarabella is a plastic surgery office and a med spa. So, as I said, I'm really, when it comes to the face, I'm really into the non-surgical things first. I think that, you don't, with this whole natural craze, there's probably going to be a whole bunch of people who cringe at what I say, but I am a plastic surgeon at the end of the day. So when I say you don't have to be natural, but you should look natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't like all these things that, people do to make themselves look like they've been touched. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like, if you're touched, you shouldn't look touched, if that makes sense.
It does.
So my med spa is a really big part of my practice. And in the practice that I came from, you know, it was a really big part of that practice as well. Because I think if people knew, if they were educated about the things that they can do to keep themselves looking young so that they never got to that far off place where you need surgery.
Yeah.
Or nobody needs the surgery, but where you really want the surgery. Then, you know, I could save a lot of people from needing to get a knife to their face. Mm-hmm. So, the med
That's
spa.
That's really nice.
Yeah. The med spa will be a really big part of, my practice. And in the med spa, you can get treatments like, facials, microdermabrasion. There's one procedure that I love. I periscoped about it this weekend with Ashley Graham, mm-hmm. Which is called hydrofacials. Those are amazing. Needling, microneedling.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the treatments are things to help induce collagen growth in your skin, because once you hit about 30, you're like peaked out on the amount of elastin that you're going to create in your skin. And that's what gives your skin that snap back, what makes it so that it looks supple and young.
Mm.
And then also you degrade more collagen and make less of it. So that's why people will start to show signs of aging on their face. Mm-hmm. And so all the treatments, the majority of the treatments that we offer are things to help combat that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I do laser skin tightening, laser hair removal, on dark skin. Most of the lasers out there aren't suitable for dark skin, mm-hmm. and so I have one that actually is great on dark skin.
You have that advanced technology.
Yes, mm-hmm. The advanced technology. and I think that's the major stuff for the med spa. And then on the plastic surgery side, obviously plastic surgery. So breast augmentation, breast reductions, breast reconstruction, tummy tucks, liposuction, you know,
the whole nine.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I enjoy all that stuff.
I bet you do. So, that can be done in office, right?
No, so real surgery you shouldn't get in a regular doctor's office. Now, a lot of surgeons have surgical suites attached to their offices, and that's safe.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't be getting like real surgery in hotel rooms or in like a regular exam room.
Right. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of that going on.
Right.
It makes me scared for people.
I can imagine. So if one is looking to get plastic surgery, what are some questions that they should ask the surgeon?
Well, first make sure it's a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that is like common sense, but people get plastic surgery procedures from folks who aren't even medical professionals at all.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Like they're not anything medical. And so I think it's sad that people want those things so badly that they would put their lives in real danger to do it. But just, I want people to keep in mind that, once someone touches you and that like once someone changes you, you only have one chance to do it right the first time.
Mm.
And so even if you went and found the best reconstructive plastic surgeon in the whole wide world, they'll never be able to get it like they would have been able to get it had they done it themselves right the first time. Mm. And some of the things that happen to people when they do these unsafe things to get a bigger butt or to put fillers in their face or to make their breasts bigger. Mm-hmm. Right. Some of these things can kill you. And some of the things can't be fixed, mm-hmm. not even by the best plastic surgeon. At the end of the day, we're people. We're not God. Mm-hmm. And so, if you get some sort of really destructive complication, you might be stuck with it for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, make sure it's a doctor, mm-hmm. and then make sure it's a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And then you want it to be a surgeon who has been trained in plastic surgery. So
an OBGYN.
Well, and so like, I don't want to go and, be stepping on anybody's hustles or anything like that. But I just say, you want to make sure the person that you're going to get these things are actually qualified to do these
and
things.
Trained in
because
it.
Sometimes people will even get lost in the board certified thing because mm-hmm. you can say you're board certified, but you could be board certified in family practice or emergency medicine.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
so right. You really need to see what they trained in.
Right.
I think that's important.
Okay.
And just don't get it in a hotel room.
Right.
Please. Please.
So, potential risks. You just said that you could potentially.
It can
kill you.
Yes. So it's surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's with plastic surgery too, it's so sensationalized on television. You see like, them before and they're like, oh, this plastic surgery is going to change my life. And then 15 minutes later, they've had the surgery, they're recovered from it. And oh, this plastic surgery changed my life. And so people think,
plastic surgery,
they think they can order
it.
Mm-hmm. Right. They think they can order it like it's a Whopper.
Right.
Like seriously, I literally had to tell somebody, this is not Burger King. We cannot do it your way. Like it's not what they make it seem like on television.
Mm-hmm.
It's surgery. You first need to be healthy. You need to be in a healthy place mentally and physically. I can do the best operation in the world. I can literally think this is the most wonderful surgery I've ever done. And then if you're not in the right space mentally, you'll hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's a lose.
Mm.
Even if I know it was perfect and this is great, if you don't like it, I lost.
Right.
And
then that person tells everybody that.
Right. And you did nothing wrong. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I really try to make sure people are in the right space mentally. And make sure they're healthy. I don't operate on sick people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for breast reconstruction, I do. But other than that, like cosmetic things is not for people who are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying you can't have any, like if you have high blood pressure or whatever, like I'm not going to be like, no, you can't. But, I evaluate the person as a patient first before they get to become a client, a plastic surgery client of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really important to make sure people are in a healthy space
mm-hmm.
so that they can get a good outcome.
So say, for instance, someone already had surgery done and then they come to you and like, what do you look at? And then they want you to fix it. Like, you're like, what are your thoughts at that point?
Well, sometimes, a lot of times things can be fixed. Sometimes they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that before. And sometimes, just because a person has a complication doesn't mean something was necessarily done wrong mm-hmm. the first time. There's a lot of variables to make a surgery be successful.
Mm-hmm.
One part is making sure the person is appropriate before surgery. The other part is doing a good surgery. And then after that, it has to be taken care of appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got variables that nobody has control over, like the way you heal, so everybody doesn't heal the same way. And, certain scars we can't predict will heal, heal like that or whatever. So I evaluate I try to see if I can get some sort of, picture of where they started before the initial surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what their concerns are about how things turned out. And I'll try to get records from the last, physician and then make a plan from there. And I try to give people realistic plans.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, I can fix that and it'll be great. And sometimes like, okay, I can get you here.
Right.
And sometimes there have been times where I thought they would be better served by somebody who specialized in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's not something that if I think another person can do it better, then I'll send you there.
That's good. That's great and honest.
Because my end game is not money. My end game is a happy client and it's their body. You only have one of them.
Right.
So, I try to just keep myself in check as far as like, I'm not doing this for greed. Like, I love what I do. It's fun.
Yeah.
And I genuinely like to see the smile on people's faces when they have something that has bothered them for so long be fixed. Mm-hmm. And so if I know, if it's not my area and I know someone else who can do it better, I'm going to send you there.
Mm-hmm. So the maintenance, because now if I get my stomach done, mm-hmm. then I can't go continue to eat a bunch of donuts and burgers.
Well, I mean, you can, but then you'll just need it again.
Wait, right. I wonder, like, okay, after you get it and you're nice and you're snatched and everything, and then you start to going back to those same habits, I'm going to have to come back and get it again.
Well, yeah. So that's why we weigh people before and after liposuction, because people get amnesia about where they started.
Right.
I'm like, this didn't work. I'm like, I sucked out 2 liters of fat from your abdomen. I'm like, what do you mean it didn't work? Well, you're 15 pounds up from when we first started. So that might have something to do with
right.
it. Right. You will, but even with that being said, say I did liposuction on your abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
People are kind of born with a finite amount of fat cells. So when you gain and lose weight, it's not that you have more fat cells when you're bigger and less fat cells when you're smaller. Your fat cells just get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I take, so let's just say, hypothetically, let's say you have 1,000 fat cells on your abdomen, and then I do liposuction and I take away 500 of them. When you gain weight, you'll have 500 big fat cells. And when you lose weight, you'll have 500 little fat cells.
Oh, I see.
So relatively speaking, you'll still be smaller where you got the liposuction if you gain weight than what you would have been had you not had liposuction.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having 1,000 big fat cells, you got 500 big fat cells. So that will be smaller. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. So you can gain weight. You know, you may, if depending on how much you gain, you might want to get it again. But mm-hmm. depending on how much you gain, if you gain too much, you might not be a good candidate for it.
Right.
After, you know, because like I said, we want to operate on healthy people.
Mm-hmm. And I first need to come in with a healthy mind, Shanda.
Absolutely.
When you get this fat out of you, don't you go back to those donuts. Okay, so let's switch gears and let's talk about babies.
Babies. I have those.
Yay. I remember when I had given you a card, you were like, I got babies.
Yeah, I have babies.
Okay, so you have two.
I have two little boys. They're 4 and 1. They'll be, well, their birthdays are in December and January, so they'll be 2 and 5
wow.
in a couple months. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're a handful, and it's been really interesting, this transition from Indiana to Georgia with two little people.
I know.
Oh my gosh, goodness. It's been so interesting.
I bet. So how do you balance all of this? Being a mommy, plastic surgeon,
I'm still trying to figure that out. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. Like when I'm home, I'm still doing work when I'm at home, but I just do the best I can. I mean, I don't know. I literally take it one day at a time. I'm really close with my boys. I love them to death. Sometimes I may get home after they are already asleep and I'll go in there and hug them and kiss them while they're asleep, or mm-hmm. you know, like I try to take them to school in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and especially my 4-year-old who's really talkative, he gets that from his mama. But when we're in the car, I try to talk to him about, you know, his day at school, or you know, what he did yesterday, or you know, what is he gonna have a good day at school, what's he want to do, you know, like he really loves school and I love that about him. He's yeah. super smart. He's smarter than I am. So, like he's really smart. Mm-hmm. But you know, I just try to talk to them, and I try to be honest with them about what I'm doing. Like if I know I'm going to be leaving town for a few days, I'll tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Like mommy's going to be gone for a few days, and they understand now that I work a lot. When the 4-year-old was really little, it used to break my heart because he would like cry when I walked out the door, and that killed me. But mm-hmm. I mean, I had to go, you
right.
know. So, but now he's more used to it. And I took him to work with me a few times, and then it kind of registered to him that I was a doctor, because
yeah,
he really did.
Mommy's a doctor.
Yeah, but it's funny though, because he says some of the craziest things. He's like, he'll ask me sometimes, are you a doctor? Like, yeah. And he'll like, well, can you fix this or that? And then sometimes he'll be like, but I need a real doctor, mommy. Like, it's 1 minute I'm a doctor, the next minute I'm not a real doctor.
So a scraped knee or something, he'll be like, mommy can fix this.
Sometimes, and sometimes he'll be like, if it's like a scraped knee, yes. But if it's like he's sick, like, you know, got a stomach virus or something like that, he's like, I need to go to the real doctor.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, okay, Bennett. His name is Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. I just saw that. So he's Bennett Powell.
Yes.
That's
Bennett
cool.
George Powell and Bradley George Powell.
Oh, Bennett and Bradley. That's so cute. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And so being a wife also, I'm sure has to balance that also.
Well, now we're working together. So it's weird because since we moved here, you know, everybody, and this is, I'm people will probably be able to identify with this, but when I first told like a lot of my friends that I was moving here, the first thing they're like, don't move to Atlanta with your man. Like,
I know.
You gonna move your man to Atlanta? I'm like, oh. They're like, don't do it. And it's funny because we actually got
that
closer.
Funny.
It is, because that's what everybody said. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I'm like,
if we can't, I don't agree.
I get it, and I get it,
right.
But then I don't get it. I'm like, if it's that bad, then we're a hot mess anyway, you know? But it's interesting because when we moved here, we got closer.
Yeah.
Well, trying to open up a practice is a lot. And so when we first moved here, we were staying in a hotel for like 6 weeks. And so the four of us were together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we did and we would get out of that hotel room first thing in the morning because I mean, two little boys in a hotel, like that was just badness. And we thought we were going to get kicked out every day because they scream all the time. You know, so we would get up and get dressed and get out the house and we would be gone. Like, and we found different ways that we normally didn't do to spend time together, but we would be getting work done too. Sometimes those poor babies would be sitting in their car seats all day while we're going from meeting with this contractor, mm-hmm. going to look at this building. You know, they would be in the car all day.
Totally,
and then we would be like,
that.
Okay, let's go and we would go maybe to the park in the evening and like let them play, you know, so they got to get out and then, you know, go back and sleep in the hotel room. So we got closer and it was interesting because I was kind of nervous just because of
what everybody was saying.
Please don't take your man to Atlanta.
Right.
I'm like, dang, it's like that. So, it was actually good for, it was, so far it's been good for my marriage and it's definitely made our family closer mm-hmm. being here. So.
So Atlanta was just a good move overall.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
I don't have any complaints. I'm excited about everything. Every day some new great thing comes my way mm-hmm. and it's just been awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. And people have been so supportive and I met a lot of new people who have been very supportive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been really good. So I don't have anything negative to say at this point about the move. I'm excited and I'm glad I did it.
Mm-hmm. And so you enjoy the kids, their school. Wait,
oh my God, they have the best school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so the 4-year-olds, he's in pre-K and mm-hmm. then the baby's in daycare, but the school, they have daycare and like they both go to the same place
mm-hmm.
and they love it. And it's a great school and they teach them so many good things, like things that moms would teach their kids, like how to make good choices and
yeah.
about earning things and the importance of being nice to your friends. And, you know, he'll come home and he'll say things to me and I'm like, oh, like, he got these sunglasses from the school. He came home and they're like shaped like stars. They look real wacky, like something that a 4-year-old would like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, baby, your teacher gave you those? He's like, no, mommy, I earned them. I was like, oh, excuse me.
She's like, no, she didn't give them
right,
to me. I earned these.
Right, that's what he said.
That.
I loved it. I was like, oh, okay, you're learning to earn things at school? He's like, yes.
I love it.
Like, okay.
All right, so let's now, we've talked about business, we've talked about babies, let's talk about beauty. Isn't that like the most wonderful thing to talk about?
I love it.
Okay, so tell us, me, myself, my listeners, everybody, tell us how we can preserve our pretty. Like, I want to stop aging. Like, I honestly, I
pause
don't.
Right now?
Yes.
Yeah, at this level of
right,
fabulosity?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Because I honestly, my daughter asked me the other day, she was like, Mom, what age would you want to be? I actually like my age right now. 33. I'll be 34 in December. I don't want to be 22 anymore.
No, I never. No, 22 is not. No,
yeah, 22 is not where it.
And honestly,
where
if you think. No, it's not actually. You can't even rent a car. Like, no. You're like still broke. Like, no.
Right.
You don't
still
know yourself.
Figure it out.
Yeah,
right.
You don't know yourself. So, and honestly, women, I think women are the most beautiful, like in their late 20s mm-hmm. to early mid 30s. That's when women like peak. And so if you could pause it
yeah.
there,
mm-hmm.
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that, like I was telling you earlier, that's when stuff starts to shift as
mm-hmm.
far as the, what your body does to, as a youthful body, as
right.
opposed to what it starts to do in the aging process.
And after kids, I've had six and then I got like,
girl,
this
you look amazing.
Chin.
When she told me
Thank
that,
you.
I was like, she has six, girl.
Thank you,
you look fabulous.
Thank you, doctor. Coming from Dr. Myla, the beautiful doctor. I'm just going to call you that from
thank
now
you,
on.
Thank you. Thank you. I take it. I receive it.
Okay. But yeah, so I got the chin and after you have babies and you got the size.
Girl,
and just, how
you
do
look
we
awesome.
Preserve? Thank you.
But I can still help you preserve.
Yes.
Preserve stuff. So, really when it comes to the face, I think the biggest thing, which, and I know people get so tired of hearing it and it almost sounds cliche, But if you were going to do nothing else, wear some sunscreen every day. It is so important. Like, one of the biggest parts of, one of the biggest factors in aging, other than DNA, is the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And Black people specifically don't wear sunscreen as much because we don't really wrinkle. And so, you know, you'll hear people say,
for some reason, I just thought that I didn't need it. I thought it was for white people.
Exactly. That's insanity. Mm-hmm. It's for everybody.
Help me. Okay.
So let me tell you what happens to Black skin as it ages. Mm-hmm. So Black don't crack. Fine. Right. Mm-hmm. We don't crack as far as wrinkles go,
mm-hmm.
but it tarnishes and stains. So if you think about it, as you get older, you get darker,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. If you look at a picture of yourself when you were 10, you probably weren't as dark as you are now. Mm-hmm. And that's because you don't wear sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at a person who's in their 50s, you'll see a lot of times patches, like it'll be darker on their forehead or maybe their cheeks may be darker. And a lot of times the nose is actually like lighter, which is kind of ironic, but because, you know, it catches the most sun, but your complexion is really uneven as you get older and you don't wear sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see that like immediately on people, like it's one of my pet peeves. And I almost hate the phrase Black don't crack because it makes people feel like they don't need to do anything.
Right.
Which is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So then people start to pile on all this makeup to try to even out their complexion and cover up these blemishes that really are from the sun. Even when you have like, a pimple mm-hmm. and then it leaves a black mark
mm-hmm.
and then the black mark doesn't go away. A lot of that is because while it's in the healing phase after the pimple starts to heal and sun is beating down on it without sunscreen, it makes it stay dark and it makes it get even darker than it would have been had you wore sunscreen. Mm-hmm. So, but people don't know that. So all this stuff is just cumulative. And so over the years, their skin is just being beat up by the sun. And so I said all that to say, no matter what color you are, male, female, Black, white, Chinese, Puerto Rican, whatever, you should wear sunscreen every day.
Sunscreen every day. Any particular kind?
I say SPF 30 or higher. And so then here comes the issue with that. So sunscreens will look pasty the higher up you go if they're the lower end sunscreens. And which is more of an issue for dark skin than it is for lighter skin because it's a pasty kind of whitish kind of grayish color, which shows up more on dark skin.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have on sunscreen right now that's SPF 50.
Your skin looks great. I'm just like looking at it. It's just so nice and shiny.
If you get, thanks. All I have on is sunscreen and blush.
That's it?
And mascara.
Oh my gosh.
You can touch my face and see? Did any makeup come off on your finger?
No.
Yeah, no. See, that's what happens when you take care of your skin. So that is SPF 50. So normally SPF 50 looks like chalk.
Mm-hmm.
So just rub it all the way in and you can't even see it.
No, you can't.
And you're protected.
Wow.
And you can put your makeup right on top of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because so that's my nose is starting to peel now. And I'm like, is it because I'm getting older? Like, why is my skin peeling? But I'm being beat up by the sun.
Yeah, you're being beat up by the sun.
Okay.
So that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Protect your skin from the sun. Then, like I said, all the...
I'm taking notes, listeners. I hope you are too.
Really, a lot of the things that I do to keep my skin like it is literally seriously centers around collagen. Like I'm obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
So things that make me make more collagen. So not injecting collagen, me producing my own stuff.
Wow.
That makes sense.
So, it does make sense.
Yeah,
it's just so interesting because like you said, you're a plastic surgeon, but it's all about... It sounds like this.
Well, here's the thing. I can't do surgery on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even do Botox on myself. Otherwise, I would have some right here. But I can't do it on myself. So the things that I can do, to try to keep myself from needing that, because first of all, I don't have time to recover because mm-hmm. then I can't work.
Right.
You know, and I don't want surgery on my face if I could avoid it, you know, and like I said, I can't do it on myself. Mm-hmm. So I need to do everything I can to kind of keep things the way they are.
And you know? And so how does one produce collagen?
So one big thing, I won't endorse a particular product line, but I'll say ingredients
mm-hmm.
or whatever. One big thing that induces collagen growth is retinols or tretinoin. Tretinoin's like the big brother of retinols.
Okay.
Retinols you can buy over the counter. Those help induce collagen growth. It helps your skin exfoliate itself. As you get older, the dead skin cells just kind of sit there on the surface.
Mm.
They just They just stack on top of each other. And when you're younger, they come off naturally. And so that's why when people get older, their skin looks drier and more drab, like just doesn't have that glow like young skin does.
Right.
And so, this helps kind of helps your skin learn to auto exfoliate itself. It helps teach your skin to keep itself hydrated. It induces collagen growth. It strengthens elastin. Like it does a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I like, antioxidants on the skin. So topical antioxidants on the skin. So like vitamin C and vitamin E. I use growth factors on my skin, not growth hormone, growth factors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, the elements that your skin naturally produces that help it repair itself and be more youthful, but it's like in a concentrated form. So it's kind of like helping your natural, what you naturally do. It kind of is a boost.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
It does.
What else?
And all of this can be done at your office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. We need to just come see you.
Right. Well, the other thing too, is that everybody has different things. Like I normally have dry skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dry everywhere but on my face because I take care of my face much better than I take care of the other parts. But using the product, I don't have to put moisturizer on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the winter, like if it's really, and I may not have to in Atlanta. I'm used to Midwest winters.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Here, you know, I'm not sure what my skin's going to be like here in the wintertime. But
mine is always dry.
Right. I have dry skin, but my face skin is not dry.
Mm-hmm.
Because that stuff helps. It helps teach your skin to do whatever it is that it's lacking.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to use products that target your issues. So everybody's not the same. Mm-hmm. You know, some people have dry skin, some people have oily skin, some people have acne. You know, some people may have rosacea. Some people are sensitive. Some people are not. You know, like, mm-hmm. It's hard to say for every single person because some people, the growth factors, like some, it helps, it makes some people more oily.
Mm-hmm.
So if I find that it's doing that, then I'll maybe change the type of growth factors or change the amount of times I have them use it. So it really is, I really do customize a skin regimen to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very hands on with it too. Like I don't just sell you this stuff and send you on your way. Like mm-hmm. I'm very hands on because like I said, my goal is for you to smile when you look in the mirror.
Right. So what was Ashley having?
She got a hydrafacial.
Okay.
And she was also started on a skincare regimen.
Okay.
Yep. She just walked up to me and said, "What's up with the glow?"
Yeah.
I was like, she's like, "That's funny. I want my skin like that." Mm-hmm. What's up with the glow?
What's up with the glow? I love it.
I was like, it caught me off guard.
Right. Well, you just like, come on into the office and I'll show you what's up with the glow. Okay. So when is like too much like for plastic surgery? Like
that's a great question. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I tell my patients, I'm your plastic surgeon, but I'm also the plastic surgery police.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and that's another, and it's twofold. I am the plastic surgery police. My patients will tell you that I will say no. Like mm-hmm. they don't drive that ship completely. So it is like what we do is driven by their desires. But if what they desire is too much to me,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it because it's still my art. You know, it's my work and my name. And if you're going to be out there and people are going to be pointing at you for bad reasons, I don't want my name attached to that. So, and if you're, there's people who want to look like that. And there's doctors who are comfortable with that and who also may think that looks good. And that's the doctor they should go to.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So you need to find somebody who has the same, goal and vision as what, you know, you want to find a doctor that sees beauty the same way that you do.
Right.
Because I'm not saying that stuff is ugly. It's just not appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't create something that I don't, like, I'm not going to purposely do something that I think looks bad. Because somebody has a check.
Right.
That's not.
Cause you're not, like you said, you're not driven by the money.
That's not my end game. Of course, we all want to make money.
Of course.
But when I went into this, I didn't go in it to make money. You know, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
It does.
So it does. So I just try to do the right thing. And I try to do the right thing for the person and the right.
Money's the byproduct.
It's a byproduct. It's a side effect.
Right.
Right. So what I'm driven by and what I am striving for when I meet someone in the setting of my practice is for them to smile when they look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want people to be pointing at them like they're you know, a freak or something. Mm-hmm. So if I think it looks, if I think it's too much, then I'll tell them, no, girl, it's too much. But I try to build a rapport with my patients so that they trust me. So that if I tell them no, they know that it's probably not the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that too. Like if I came into your office, I was like, I trust you and I feel like really comfortable.
And that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. So like when you're, especially when you're dealing with, I mean, it's your body and it can't be, some stuff can't be fixed. Mm-hmm. It can't be, once you do it, it's done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just important to respect.
Especially like with the face.
With your face. It's your face. Right. So it's important to respect what it is. And so I just don't want to be responsible for making somebody a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't, I need to be able to look in the mirror. You know, I didn't go into this to be, I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. And I'm a good person. So I'm not, that's not something to be proud of to like, right. to like make people look
jacked
crazy.
Up. Yeah. Right.
And most plastic surgeons are not in it for that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times you see, when you see these weird things, it's not a plastic surgeon who did it.
Mm. Yeah, it's somebody
we get, yes, we get blamed for stuff that we had nothing to do with all the time, you mm-hmm. know, and that is so rampant, the fact that there's people who are not qualified to do it, what it is that we do, doing these things, mm-hmm. and then they do it at a lower cost.
Right.
So then folks run there because it's cheaper. It's like, okay, when people, like, for example, a syringe of Juvederm. Mm-hmm. People are like, how much you charge for a syringe of Juvederm? One person might say $400. One person might say $600. Well, you're paying for more than the syringe. You're paying for the skill of the person injecting it.
Right.
So if you want to get it for $400 and now your lips are lopsided, mm-hmm. that's, you got, I mean, it was only $400.
Right.
You know, so you have to think of, people aren't really, sometimes you don't want to just be shopping for price, mm-hmm. because the people who are pricing it at those ridiculous prices often are not the plastic surgeons.
There's no value in in such a low price.
Right. Well, and it's just, I'm not saying that every person that prices it low is no good. I'm not saying that at all, but you just need to be, you should be more focused on the person's work than the price.
Right.
Because it's your face.
True.
Or your, you know, your breasts, or mm-hmm. it's your body and you only have one of them. Mm-hmm. So you can't just be bargain shopping on something so important.
True.
That's all I'm saying.
So, as far as pricing, is it, different, for different patients, or is
sometimes
some things the same price?
Some things are the same. With the med spa procedures, those are pretty consistent regardless of who you are. But like surgeries, the prices can vary. A lot of times there's a range because it's not, everybody is different. You're mm-hmm. starting from a different place, and certain people, to get them to where they need to be, may take more work. So like, just like a tummy tuck, all tummy tucks aren't created equal. Mm-hmm. Some ladies are super little and all they have is skin hanging at the bottom with no fat. Mm-hmm. They won't need liposuction. They have a small frame. It's going to be a lot faster. That person's would be less. It's going to be less OR time. It's going to be less work. Mm-hmm. But then there might be one where they need liposuction in a few areas and they're bigger and it's going to take longer. And so that would cost more. So it's really, it just like, breasts. Breasts is a really good example of variability, because a lady may come in and say, I want, a breast augmentation. And then when I examine her, it may turn out that she needs a breast lift and a breast augmentation. She mm-hmm. might need, or she may have some deformity that she wasn't even aware of. Mm-hmm. You know, that in order to make it look good, she'll need something else done too. And so then her breast augmentation is not going to cost what a straightforward breast aug is going to cost. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's not one size fits all.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. So, do you watch like Botched? And,
I like Botched.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So what I like about Botched is, I like the fact that they tell people no. Mm. Because I think people think that, you know, folks just come in, like I said, and order a plastic surgery like it's a Whopper, you know, and, you know, it's just been so sensationalized on television that mm-hmm. people just don't even really understand. It's not that simple. Or they think, oh, I'll just get it fixed, or I could just go get this. And it's just not like that, you know. And so I do appreciate the fact they have very interesting people on there.
They do.
But, you know, a lot of times when people are, and it's the example of the folks who have gone too far, when they, it's like they have at least one person on there every episode that's just gone too far.
Right.
They're like, yeah, no. And they tell them no. And so people don't realize that we tell people no. And so that is was one thing that I loved about the show. Mm-hmm. And they do good surgery. Yeah. Like those guys, they do really, really good work. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy watching. And it's for my husband. He always thinks it's funny because I'll be like, oh, I would do this, this, this. And right. He'll be like, yeah, we're going to do this, this, this. He's
right.
Like, it's like, you're married to me and you still don't really get that I like do surgery.
Right.
He's like, that's the same thing you said, babe. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm a surgeon. Right. I'm a plastic surgeon. So yeah, I like that show. I liked Atlanta Plastics too. That was really
yeah. I just caught an episode of that one really late night or early morning, and I was like, well, I thought about you then because it's
when here that in show Atlanta. When that show first aired, my Facebook blew up. I was getting text messages from everywhere. Like, I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm watching it. I have it on my DVR. If I'm at home, I'll see it when I get back. Like, I support that show. I like it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to talk this whole entire time with you. Am I going off a little bit? 1 minute. So how
oh,
can
wow.
we?
It's almost, it's over
it's
already?
Almost, yes. And I could just keep talking forever and ever to you. So interesting to talk
I
to you.
I may just have to come back.
Yes, you will. So how can we, stay in touch with you?
So, right now my website, is www.preserveyourpretty.com.
And I love that. I also love your branding. Like, this is so
thank you.
Pretty.
That's my
so like delicate.
That's right. That's my tart. Look. It was easy to come up with my logo mm-hmm. because my target audience is me.
Yeah.
I'm 37 years old. I'm a woman trying to keep my fabulous as long as I can. I'm a mother. I have the same insecurities that every other woman does. It's so funny because I'm always boosting everybody up and then I'm breaking myself. I'm like a woman. I'm still
right.
a woman, you
right.
know? That logo, I literally create, I'm like, I chose something that I would like because my target is me.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, so yeah, I love that logo.
I so do I. I like it because I'm an artist at heart, and it just looks like a watercolor paintbrush uh-huh. stroke,
and it sort of looks like lips.
Yeah, it does.
Which I didn't realize that till after the fact. So I was like, that sort of looks like lips. I'm like, it does. That's when I knew I chose the right thing.
Right. It is very pretty. Okay, so preserveyourpretty.com
mm-hmm. and my Instagram, Twitter, Periscope is at Dr. Myla, DrMyla. I have a Facebook fan page, Dr. Myla, and, all my contact information is on those, areas. Right now I'm in Johns Creek.
Awesome. How far is Johns Creek away from here?
Like, it took us like 35 minutes to get here, but we came during non-traffic time. So
right.
that could potentially be 2 hours at the wrong time of the day.
It definitely could. You are so right about that. Is there anything that you would like to leave with my listeners? Anybody, perhaps a medical student who is thinking the same thing, that they have to go work in a hospital, but they're like going back and forth with, or should I become an entrepreneur?
If you, everybody's not built for being an entrepreneur, but if you feel that in your heart, then you should be working towards the day that you get to start working on your dreams instead of somebody else's. Absolutely.
I like that.
That's what I say. Go to work every day to build your dreams, not somebody else's.
Yes.
If that's your desire.
True. And I like what you said earlier. And if you are going to go work for somebody else,
you should enjoy it.
You should
it should be
it.
Something you believe in, something you support, something you can feel like you're taking ownership in so that you can show up and not be looking at the clock every day. If you're staring at the clock all day, you're at the wrong place.
Yes. Say it again one more time.
If you are staring at the clock all day, you are at the wrong place.
I love it. I look at my watch a lot, but it's because I have
to. You're trying to
be...
stay on time.
Right.
That's different.
Right.
If you're looking at if you're looking at your watch because you're like, oh my God, when am I going to get to go home?
Right.
Then that's not good. Your life is too short. You only have one of them. You should enjoy it.
That's
you should
right.
live a life with purpose.
One life, one body.
One life, one body. So don't get plastic surgery in a hotel room.
Right. No. That sounds like a story, you know, personally.
It's
you
just,
know somebody who personally got some work done in a hotel?
It's really, yes. I'm not going to go there on this show. That's another show.
But one other thing that I want to say to that, because I've seen a lot of it on the news also with the butt
die.
Injections.
They die.
People are injecting like Fix-A-Flat.
Cement.
And just,
industrial grade silicone. We don't inject free silicone into anybody. A silicone implant is in a shell. And now even silicone implants, the silicone inside of it is solid.
Mm.
It feels, when you squish it, it feels like it's not solid, but it is. So we don't take a needle and inject silicone directly into random places in people's bodies because it causes bad problems.
Mm-hmm.
And people are learning that the hard way. And then when you get all this strange things injected into your bottom and fast forward 5 years and gravity has been pulling on it for 5 years. Yes. And then you look like you have on a diaper.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's only 5 years because this is kind of new. I don't know what these people are going to look like after 10 years. So mm-hmm. you want to get it done the right way if you're going to do that and do it in a safe way mm-hmm. because it's not worth dying over to have a big bottom.
Right. I think I'm just going to keep my...
Just be safe.
Yeah. Be safe out here.
Be safe out here in these streets.
Okay. Any last words? I so enjoyed talking to you, Dr. Marla. Any last words? Anything you want to leave? Anything?
Wear sunscreen.
Right. We need it. Thank you so much, everyone.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Myla, for being here. Like I said, because I know you could have been anywhere else today. So thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
I appreciate your information. And I hope that you can come back and talk to us again.
I would love to.
Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I'm your host, Shanda Cadet, Business Babies and Beauty. I could tell you more, but just follow me on Instagram. Send me an email, info@businessbabiesandbeauty.com. Have a lovely, awesome, beautiful day.
This show is brought to you by Airbender, the freedom of knowing the problem is solved. Your resource for the preventive care of your heating and cooling systems. Learn more at www.airbenderga.com.